Like our God, there's nobody else like our God. Hey, by it, when low my phone, I'm a cheat. Low my bees was seven. Baba, I'm in bed.
Oh man, what are the odds? What are the odds? I just heard that Billy Black is on Fancy's Live, and we just heard a song from South Africa. I didn't even plan that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even plan that.
You this didn't
song,
plan
no,
that, yeah.
No, it just so happened. It's like serendipity.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, listen, we just got started on the live sessions, and I got to tell you that for Bubbling Under, we're talking about this with Fancy. I'm like, listen, what's happening on Bubbling Under? It's a tie in Jerry with Patience. It's you, M. Roomby. And Andia both came back, both same amount of votes. So we got to go again. It's a tie. We'll find out next week if you vote for them or if one of them, we get another version of Bubbling Under. So that's what's happening for Bubbling Under. And also, you know, when we started off the show, I said, let's form a circle of love, a circle of joy. I just want you to know that if you're struggling with your mental, emotional wellness, Bonga, speak up. Don't keep it to yourself. You really got to speak up about what's going on with you just so that you can be able to be present for those around you and yourself. It starts with self and then goes out. So once again, just be sure to Bonga. I want to switch gears because this is a moment that you've been waiting for me to be done with the first hour of the show. And I'm really happy to be here. It's such an honor to have this individual, hugely talented individual. He's a Grammy Award winning guitarist. I gave you this clue yesterday and I forgot to say, which other Grammy Award winning guitarist do we have in the country? The answer would be none. So that was like the biggest clue. There's only one. He's one of one. Okay. A visionary force, of course, behind Saudi Soul, and he stands at the forefront of global music innovation. He is internationally acclaimed for his genre defying artistry. His music and he himself transcends musical boundaries, captivating audiences with his unique blend of African style guitar fused with modern sounds and African rhythms. He is one of the most critically acclaimed producers and composers. As a distinguished member, when I was reading this, I was like, I have to say distinguished, like distinguishment.
Distinguished.
Because it's such a distinguishment. As a distinguished member of the Recording Academy, that's the Grammys, y'all. That's what I mean. Okay. He is making his profound impact on the world of music. He's a trailblazer. He pioneered Afro lo-fi, a genre that seamlessly fuses the tranquil vibes of lo-fi with the pulsating beats of African rhythms, from the heartfelt father studies to the groundbreaking potluck. Fancy Fingers' musical journey defies expectations. And with his new project, which I know you've listened to, but we're going to have you listen to a couple of tracks too. He is definitely making waves. I was telling him that there's a remix he did, that Kudade, that completely blew my mind away. Because I was like, okay, how did you get this? How did this happen? How did this conversation happen? Now, he also plays a vital role in Soul Kids, celebrating diversity through children's literature and cultural initiatives. And in the Symphony of Global Music, Fancy Fingers emerges as a maestro, leaving an indelible mark on the cultural tapestry of the world. With a multifaceted career, he has captivated a massive following across his various social media platforms. And his influence, well, it extends beyond music. He's embraced food channels and children's books, and his unique approach has cultivated a devoted fan base. Listen, it's such an honor.
Listen, that is I think, the longest introduction.
It's yours, though.
I was like, what?
Did you not know you've done all these things?
I could
things?
Have gone for coffee and come back.
Should I? But these are your accomplishments,
I
though.
I know.
Did you
I
not
know.
Know?
Sometimes, you know.
When you hear them?
You forget. It's been many years.
Well, you've been busy in the time that you've been doing this.
I have been so busy.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So to hear all of that, I'm like, wow, that's crazy.
And that's what I said. I said, I'm going to let him know what he's been doing, because sometimes you don't always know about
these
things.
That's true.
So welcome to the Live Sessions, Fancy Fingers.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm always happy to be here. Always, always. This is like my home.
It is home, though.
Beautiful memories,
always.
Yeah. Even if you move the studio, it's still the feeling is...
The love.
The love is
the love is still there.
Yeah.
Let's start with this. Congratulations, first of all, as a Grammy Award-winning guitarist and producer.
Yes.
Congratulations on that. You've undoubtedly have had your share of memorable moments in the studio. We're in the studio right now, so I thought this would be the perfect way to start. Can you share a particularly amusing or unexpected story from behind the scenes?
All throughout my career?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Wow. Okay, I'll say Saudi era. Let me start with that. I mean, it's still Saudi era. We're just on a hiatus. But there are moments, magical moments. So if I can go back from when we started. So the first time we actually got in studio properly to record Mwanzo, because, you know, we started as live artists first. So we played live for maybe 2-3 years before stepping into a studio properly. But the feeling of being in the studio, and it wasn't even a studio, actually. It was with Wawesh, and it was a laptop and a microphone.
Were you in a bedroom?
Bedroom. All of Mwanzo was recorded in a bedroom. But that feeling, the magic of doing that process, always sticks with me, because it's making music is my happiest place. Like, nothing beats me being in a space making music. Nothing in this world. Like, nothing. And I think it's been like that since I was a kid. So having that moment now, being the first moment, always, it's stuck in my head. Like, just being together with the boys. And we used to record, so I used to be the first to come in, lay the guitars and composition and arrangement and everything. Then the rest of the boys come and now do the vocals like that. And now when we hear the final product after, just like, wow, we made this. Like, it's like you're starting to cook something and you don't know how it's going to taste, but you know it's going to taste good, but you just don't know how it's going to, you just don't know how, but you just know it's going to taste good. And you know, you trust the process, even though you don't know what comes first. Is it the salt or the pepper? But you know, you're going to make, you know, good stuff. So that's one of the main, there are many moments.
There are many moments.
Many moments, child.
There are many moments like that.
Yeah.
You've taken me. So now this is, because when I was preparing for this conversation with you, I said we could talk for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And you've just magically segued into this next question. Your music, you just talked about food. Your music is like a flavorful fusion dish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blending African rhythms with modern sounds.
Yes.
If you could compare your musical style, because you just talked about food, to a specific meal.
What dish?
You brought it up. Listen, like I said, I was preparing for you and I had all these questions.
Gosh, jeez.
But you just talked about food. So I'm like, okay, you go. A specific meal, what dish would it be and why?
So I don't think it can be a specific meal, but it can be a specific style.
Okay.
I'd say. So maybe I love making bowls. We call them Buddha bowls, but just bowls of putting things together that you don't really need a certain, it's not strict. It's not like you have to put chickpeas, you can't put red beans, you know, but you know that when you put things together, you know, you put your brown rice or you put your plantain or you put just making a nice bowl, and the sauces that you use, it's within that bowl. That's how my music is. That's how I'd explain it. It's in general, it's the bowl, but the bowl can be different things, you know, but still, it's still a bowl, a Buddha bowl, you know.
Yeah.
That's how I'd explain it.
Okay, I get it. Well, you brought up the food.
I know. Yeah.
I was just going to talk about the guitar.
Well, being a foodie, food always comes.
Food always
into
comes
the conversation. Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Now, every time I play your songs on the show, I always say, or I play Saudi songs, I always say, have you guys seen, or you can hear Fancy on the guitar, and if you've ever seen him perform live, you know how he lets it rip. I always talk about that. I mean, your mastery on the guitar is obvious for us to see.
Yeah.
What is the one instrument you've always wanted to learn but haven't had the chance
trumpet.
To? Oh, there you go. Okay. Now, how do you think the trumpet would add to your already eclectic sound?
Ah, man, listen. Actually, I'm prepping for my show that's now on the May 3rd. And literally on Friday, I was doing my last rehearsal for the week. And this trumpet guy, a good friend of mine, just walked into, because he was coming into the next rehearsal. So he just walked in and I just looked at him and was like, bro, you want to come play for me? You want to join the band? Because trumpet just does something to me. It's actually my favorite instrument, hands down. My favorite, by far. So, yeah, trumpet into my sound will definitely, like, kick ass for sure.
For sure. Oh, yeah, there you go. Now, let's go back a little bit. Father yeah. Studies and Potluck. And when you released Father Studies, we had this conversation with you. By the way, you can catch part one of my conversation on the Capital Femme SoundCloud channel.
Oh, yes.
We had this conversation. And Potluck, these are just two examples of the diverse range of musical experiences you've crafted.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Could you take us on a journey through your creative process when you're conceptualizing and producing such eclectic pieces of music, even before we come to love language.
Yeah.
How, could you just take us through that?
Yeah, so I always take that process very seriously because for me, it's music is extremely spiritual. Music is a moment, first of all. Sometimes you create the moment, sometimes the moment comes. So in creating the moment, depending on the project I'm doing, I like to be in a space that enhances me to be at my level best. So I'll give you an example. So with the Afro Lo-Fi stuff, since it was a first time doing something that's new, the genre is not really explored. It's kind of new, actually. I think I came up with it. And I had to go out of town. And I went into the bushes. I went like to Naivasha, deep in there, in Naivasha, by the lake. And I just went in my setup and simple, very simple studio house, like one room B&B, for instance. Set up my studio there, and I was there for like 4 days. And in those 4 days, I was just really in a space where I was calm, of course, no distractions from home or from friends or whatever it is. And just being in that space and giving it your all and being in the moment, that's what produced that kind of work, for example. So I like to do things like those. If I'm writing for someone or doing a camp for somebody, I always say, let's get out of town somewhere. Or ask them, what is it that you like? Do you like the beach, do you like the ocean, or do you like the wild, or do you like this then this? And if budget allows, of course, we go somewhere and we stay there for, I do that for big projects, like we're doing an album or we're doing the Afro Lo-Fi stuff or start like a project. I would rather do it out of town. It can be in town as well, as long as it's somewhere that's curated well to fit whatever you want to bring out, because I say music is very spiritual, so it's not a thing of let's just pop into studio and do stuff. And sometimes the magic works, of course, it works wonders. But when you're doing a project where it's really focused on a certain topic or genre, or you need to be in that space to really dig deep, then I'd rather we go somewhere else. So that's how I do my creative process. But I say there's some moments. Sometimes it just comes. It can come after I leave this place, something can come into my mind and I'm like, I need to lay it down. And music is like that. Like if you don't lay it down at that point, it's not going to be the same because it's a moment.
It's a moment.
It comes and goes.
I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
You know, as a distinguished member, member of the Recording Academy, could you share a moment from your Grammy winning experience that has left a lasting impact on you both personally and professionally?
I'd say that would be my recent trip to go and watch the Grammys, which was this year in February. So they invited us to go as individuals, because we are all in our own right members of the Academy. Yeah. So they invited us, and we were with them actually. We were with the CEO last year and the whole council of the Grammys. They came to Kenya to see us sometime last year. Excuse me. To be so they asked us to be part of the Grammy Council. They're bringing the Grammys to the continent, so we are like at the top, being the members of the council. And they invited us, told us, "Yeah, we'd like you guys to have you guys rather at the Grammys this year." I was like, "Yeah, say less, we'll come." And it was such a great time because, first of all, African music is at the top, so it was really good to see a huge African representation at the Grammys. It was absolutely amazing. So many Africans. All the parties were just like stormed by by black African people, which is really amazing to see that. And the whole experience was just amazing because it's at the top of the top, right? It's the top music in the world, and getting to interact with all these A-listers. And also being an A-lister yourself, you know, so you
there you go. Yeah, okay, yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, because, I mean, just, I realize also just having the name Grammy Award winning in a space like LA literally raises eyebrows. People are like, who are you? You're like, yeah, can we do stuff together? Like, it happens like this. Like,
it's a calling card.
It is a calling card, I'm telling you. Even on Instagram, like, I discover new artists, like, and now I'm really listening to a lot of country, black country music that's really popping, and I go and follow some guys, and they immediately DM, because they go, maybe they see my profile and they see Grammy Award winning. They send a message like, let's work together.
Hi
please. So it has a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And being at the Grammys,
but you've earned it.
Definitely earned it. And being at the event itself, so there's a lot of parties that happen around the Grammys, a lot of networking that happens. That as we were speaking off air, how I got into really big rooms, you know, people that are A-listers, you know, getting to work with Rihanna's team, Cher's team, Kanye West, and just being in that space and them seeing you as their peer. Because sometimes we see ourselves as less, right? And once you get into those rooms and you see how they react to your skill or your music, and they're like, wow. And you have to carry yourself the same way, you know, and be like, yes, we are peers, so let's talk at that level.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have to see myself as a lesser person because I am from Kenya, for instance. Because psychologically, it just happens. Sometimes you can't even control it. But you need to step into that room and you know, chest forward, and, of course, not boasting, but just confident.
Right.
Yeah, that we are the same level, and, yeah, I can make just as great music as you can, maybe even better. So that's how it was. And that's, I guess, with that attitude, that's what happened during the Grammys, the Grammy season, and just getting into really amazing rooms, as I said. And the Grammys itself, so biggest moment, of course, was watching, not even just watching the Grammys and being there, was watching Tracy Chapman.
Oh, I can't.
Oh,
imagine.
My. Ciao.
Guitarist. How could I even forget that? Yes, there you go.
And also as a guitarist, yes. I don't know how it is now, yeah, but for my my generation.
Nzizile.
The first songs you would learn were Tracy Chapman songs. You get. So it's like, it all like went full circle. And funny enough, the same song that she performed, because it's a fast car that was sampled by this country singer, I literally just 2 months before had sampled the same song into an Afrobeats vibe, and then got Tenny to do it. So it's like it all just happened like what is this?
What's going
and
on?
She went, and she was the first one to perform.
Yeah,
I cried, child. Tears.
Oh, there you go.
Me and Bien were in tears. In tears, because they're like, what?
Bien, you just got told up. Bien probably never said this. He's like, I was okay. Like, now fancy. Tears. But that must have been absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so that was a huge, huge moment. Wow. For sure. But just the whole experience being there at a different capacity also. Because usually we're there touring, and there isn't enough networking, you know. So I stayed there for a month. So I was there for, the Grammys was just a week, but then I extended and stayed for a month just to network. And I really made really good headway with a lot of stuff musically. And as we're talking off here, we need more East Africans in those spaces, man. Because as much as there are many Africans during the Grammys, it was South East Africans were probably it was just us, Navio, Focus was there, and that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, there's absolutely
more in
no
the room.
One else.
More in the room.
We just need more people in the room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking love language in a little bit. And I certainly, if you haven't listened to it, please run it up, run those numbers up. We've listened to some songs that have played on the show. But even before we go into the song that you're going to introduce for us,
yeah.
Can you tell us about a specific song from the album and perhaps the story or inspiration behind it?
Any song?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm.
Yeah, from Love Language. Because we just switched to Love Language.
Yeah. Oof, let me see.
It's such a beautiful addition to your discography. I've got to say that.
No, it is. It is.
It
I've been working on it for 2.5 years. Lost files in between.
Wow.
I had to start like almost all over again. That was tough. So actually, that's a general story for the album that really was quite intense. Because I lost it. I lost the files. Because last year we were on tour as Sauti, and literally the last day of the tour, as we were flying back, so I'm at the lounge, at Schiphol, about to come back to Nairobi, and I'm working on some music. The hard drive is out, and I kind of, I don't know, I think as I was packing in a hurry, because sometimes in the lounge you forget that, you know, you get lost in time. I was packing. I actually left my, I think I left my hard drive there, or it fell, whatever it is. And I was depressed badly for like 3 weeks. Like it was bad. It was really bad, child. And even in that, now to recover the stuff, again, as I spoke about my creative process, I had to leave town. I went to Kilifi for like 5 days to just work and get back to to where I had left. So I guess, yeah, many songs that have really beautiful stories. Currently, my favorite is Set Me Free with Raspy. Raspy is this amazing South African lady with a raspy voice, as her name suggests. And the song has like how many writers? Maybe four writers in the song. So there's me. Ben Sol helped me with the chorus, actually. Raspy and a guy called Una Rams, who's South African as well. And the song is just very, just makes me, I don't know, there's just something about that song. It just makes me feel free.
Set me free.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
language. Yeah. Well, we have a song that Fancy selected, because he selected the songs that are playing right now, with Lisa Odornoa, Nyathi Dala. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Nyathi Dala also came as a moment, by the way. I had a horrible flu that morning when I recorded it. It was in the morning. I just dropped my son to school. It was raining. And the progression just came to mind, picked up the guitar, and started writing the chorus, and it was so sweet. I was so excited. I finished it, my part, at least the verse and the chorus. And I wanted a Luo song in the album. It was just a song with some Luo words. And also, as you know, Luo music has been really taking over.
Yeah, no, it's because it's
country.
So beautiful.
Yeah,
are
the
you
language,
kidding
it's
me?
So beautiful, man.
It's poetic.
Very, very.
Yeah.
And sounds really amazing. So, yeah, so that was, I just started writing in Luo, just putting words together, getting melodies. And the song Nyathi Dala is like a girl from the village. That's the direct translation. It's a girl from the village. And the song speaks about like talking to this girl from the village, and she's very, very beautiful, and telling her, please, I would love to bring you to the city. I will take care of everything. You just need to chill. I just want to make you a queen. And you come and we stay together in the city. So that's what it is. It's Nyathi Dala is almost Kenyeji, as I'd say, but Kenyeji is for life.
Well, the city girls would like to dispute that. I just heard.
I mean, the Kenyeji city girls.
I just heard the city girls go. Sure about that?
I guess everybody has their preference. Everybody's gotta be sung to. Everybody's gotta be sung to. Everybody's gotta be sung to.
All right, so this. You started something. Okay, we're going to listen to Nyathi Dala by Fancy Fingers featuring Lisa Odor off Love Language, which if you haven't listened to, I'm going to tell you, you need to. If you listen to the show, then you know we've been playing music from Love Language. We'll get back into the conversation in just a little bit.
The Live Sessions on the Capitol Lounge.
Fancy Fingers and Lisa Odua with Nyathi Dala. 14 minutes on to 11 o'clock. We're just talking about how quickly time has gone.
Oh, yeah.
We could talk for the longest time. All
right.
Time,
I just
right?
look at I was like, what? 10:45?
Ati.
How?
Nyadje.
How?
I've got, he's like, stop the clock. Stop
yeah,
the clock.
I
have got Fancy Fingers on the live sessions. It's an extended conversation with him. And we just started talking about Love Language, which is his brand new album. Please check it out. We've played tracks off it on the show. Yeah. And you know, Fancy, Love Language is described as
yes.
a sonic adventure that celebrates diversity and sisterhood. Now, could you walk us through this, the creative process behind selecting the artists and...
Oh,
just as much as you can, as well
yeah.
as crafting the sound for each track
yes.
to ensure it reflected the theme of love and empowerment, because that's what you talk about.
Yep, yep. Mm. So the album, as you said, it's a collaboration with female artists only. And how I chose the artists, I mean, I was literally just, I mean, all of them are my favorites, to be honest. I love all of them. And all of them are, like, I encountered them differently. So an example, let's say Banana's Overdose, I listened to her music when she did a song in Fadhili's album, and I listened to her, I was like, whoa, who's this girl? So I literally DM'd her. I was like, can I do something with
did you have the Grammy winning check at that point?
Yes.
It was a quick response.
Oh yeah, of course.
I'm just saying, you know, it's like, oh, who? Oh, yep.
Yeah, she was down. She was like, yeah, let's do it. But the first one to record actually was Karun.
Yeah.
And Karun was, of course, we've been friends for many years, since Kamula days. We did a tour together with them. So she's always been there, like my small sister. And I just asked her, would you love to be part of it? Like, of course, who can say no to Fancy Fingers? Literally, that's what she said. I was like, you can say no, of course. But yeah, so she came through. And once I started recording her, then that's when The ball started rolling, and I was like, yeah, this could actually be an album that's female artists only. So I just started looking around and seeing who's best. I approached so many songs didn't make it to the, not make it because they were not great. It's just, of course, I just wanted to limit the numbers and maybe do another volume later. But at the same time, I also lost files, as I mentioned before. So I was like, I may not have the capacity to redo everything all at once. Some artists also responded much later. So some songs have been sent later that I have them, and I'm like, because some artists I had to do via, you know, sending files, because we're not in the same space. So in the album, I say half of them recorded them in the studio physically together. Half of them were just sending files and just discovering each other. I haven't even met some of them in person, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and the wonders of technology.
Wonders of technology, right? Yeah.
And you can still do the music.
Yeah, and even creating songs for each one of them, I had to really put my chill science, as you say. Always.
Hey, come on.
But I had to study, I had to like listen. So if I know I'm in Dooney's world right now and we're writing music together, I go to her music, her stuff, her Instagram, just see the kind of vibe that she is, what she likes. Because even physically, before I record someone, even just as a producer, artist aside, I love to, first of all, have an informal engagement. So we sit down, could go for lunch, go for breakfast. I don't know what you're about, where you are in life. You can get personal if you want, if you feel free. If not, that's fine. As long as I can get enough information to
fill you out.
Yeah, to fill me up and see the kind of music we can do together. And that way also they get to know me. You know, rather than, because music, making music with strangers is not easy.
Because, you describe it as a spiritual process. It's also an intimate process, because you are sharing, a story or storytelling, as it were. And there's so many things. So if it was a stranger, it would be probably disjointed.
Yeah, you know, and we always, now having a kid, I kind of see how humans are, because kids, I feel, give the best reflection of who we are.
Yeah.
If you just put three strange kids or strangers rather to each other in this room right now, they take time to really open up. Even kids, like with any human beings, like someone would walk into the house and be like, I thought Sule was very talkative and everything. It's like,
no, you're a stranger,
is, but
baby.
You're a stranger. So he needs to study you, see the kind of person you are, if you really vibe or not, you know. So it's as adults, we kind of skip that process a lot, because we're always jumping in and be like, yeah, let's work together, let's get in studio. And when you do that, the magic never happens. And there are moments even with us, like with really good artist friends, that people always ask, why haven't you done a collaboration, or why did it take you so long? But it's the process of being friends that we value first. And a good example is Nyashinski, for instance. Like, before we did any music together, and now we have a lot of songs together as individuals and as a group, is with him, we would literally just used to hang out. Like, we never ever forced being in studio. And all the songs we've done together, we didn't say, let's go to studio and do them. So, and they're all magic, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, that process is very important.
And leads me to my next question.
Yeah.
The album, it tackles various aspects of love, you know, euphoria, new romance, heartbreak. How do you personally connect with these themes, and how did that influence your approach to the songwriting and production as well? And then also, just to add on to that, I can just combine them. You're a masterful composer.
Yeah.
And you've written, you've composed, you've mixed and mastered all the songs on Love Language. What are some of the challenges and rewards of taking the full creative control?
Oh, yeah, good question. Oh my gosh.
Over a project of this scale. And of course, you've just told us that you lost, you know, the first version of what it is you were working on before. So I guess, if you could just tell us.
Oh yeah, I mean, doing that whole process, and literally it's from, and I always tell people, like, it's so intense. Because you know you're first of all generating the idea from scratch, composing it. Of course, I can get other people, and there's some songs that I have had people help, you know, in terms of production and stuff. But my bulk of the work is myself. So composing, and that you have to get so much from within with composition, and then you get to recording. So I also become the engineer as I'm recording, because I need, there's a way I want to capture whoever I'm recording, or if I'm recording myself. And in that process, I always mix as I go. So there are people who do it differently. Let's say if you're not a mix engineer, you just record and send it to, you don't care about the whole kind of sonics of how it's going to sound. You just like the mix engineer will deal with it. But for me, I do it as I go because I know I'm the one who's going to do that process anyway. So I kind of half it by the time the project is done. I'm sorry, the song is done in terms of recording. It's also kind of half done mixing. So now I just have half left to that. But it's so strenuous, Chao. Like it can take a toll on you. I mean, I would have sent it to other people to do it, but for this one, I was like, there's a particular way that I'd like it to sound. I can just finish the process myself. Because sometimes it's actually really hard to get someone to fully understand your sound in terms of what you want, especially because mixing is everything. Mixing is literally what brings out the sonics of the music. And if someone doesn't really understand you, and it's not that they're not good, it's that thing that I'm saying, you just need to know. I know Chao doesn't like coffee in the morning because this. So it's a personal thing. And once a mix engineer knows you personally, then it's great. But now, of course, I know myself very well.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah, and I have the skill to do it. So I'm like, yeah, let me just dive in and do it. But sometimes it's actually preferred that someone else does it because, yeah, they bring out something that you wouldn't have
An
extra ear is always important. Also depends on the amount of time you have. So for me, I was tied for time. I was like, let me just finish it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
And you're someone who wears many hats in this music industry.
Yeah.
You're a guitarist, you're a producer, you're a composer, you're an artist. What's your go-to method? And then I've got a really quirky question for you, but what's your go-to method for balancing all these roles while maintaining your creative flow, both in Saudi as now in your individual journey, you're three albums in.
Yeah. Whoa, I don't know how balancing, wearing those different hats, honestly. It's tough, but now I've come to learn, as I'm also doing my own music, usually I have people help me, as I say. It's not fully me. So, for instance, I have this young producer called Kobe that's always with me most of the time. And if I am in the room as an artist, then I step away a bit off from the production, for instance. And I'm like, I just want to write today. So could you just take over there? I will still be involved in the process, but I am 80% on this side and 20% on this side. And if I'm just doing production, then I'm like 100% on this side and I will let you be the artist. Of course, I will still chime in. I'll still guide you and stuff. Or if I'm being a music director, then that's just, I just focus on that 100%. But it's kind of, it's a delicate balancing act, to be honest.
Feels like you're walking, that tight wire. It feels even when you're describing it, that's the vision that comes to my mind.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We talked about food and we had the food question. Finally, your music, obviously, when we start off with Father Studies, then we go to your Afro Lo-Fi, and now we're with Love Language. And even in Sauti, your music has a way of transporting us as a listener to different places and times. So if you could perform a concert anywhere in the world, and this is kind of my segue to where we get to watch you next, but
if we could
perform a concert anywhere in the world, past or present, where would it be and why?
Oof, my gosh. In terms of venue or country or...
Yeah. It's an open-ended question, Fancy.
Don't make
me call you Paulie.
Because I performed in so many places all over the world. I guess I'd say somewhere where I haven't been to.
Yeah.
And I really want to be.
Past and present. So it could be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's futuristic backwards.
Yeah. So I really want to play in Asia, to be honest. I haven't been to Asia. I just want to see how our music or my music would transcend to such an audience, to be honest. Because music is a universal language, as we all say. And that's one place we really haven't explored. So that, and I really, really want to go to Cuba.
I know we're going to get that answer.
Yeah. Cuba is just... Oof.
And take your Buddha bowls of food and make them there too.
Exactly. Oh yeah, the food there is amazing. Oh, amazing.
You'd be making the food and then going to perform.
There you go. Yeah. So Cuba is literally on my. I really want to go to Cuba so badly.
The color, the flavors, huh?
Everything.
Everything. Everything the sound.
It. And they're just like they're Africans.
Yes, they are.
They're Africans.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's my segue to your next. To you telling us where we can watch you shortly, since we can't all go to Cuba.
Yeah.
And we don't know when that date is, but the day he announces it, we shall plan.
Yes.
But coming up, where do we get to watch you?
Yeah, so I have a concert coming up. Just move the dates, actually, so maybe some people know the previous date. So it's going to be on the May 3rd. So it's been moved from April 27th. So to the May 3rd. It's called the Fancy Experience. So we just, I just wanted to create a concert that's an event that's more than just a concert. So you come in and experience my world, all the things that I've done, all the things that I'm about to do. You know, we'll display, we'll have a lot of opening acts as well that we're confirming by tomorrow. But the likes of Jerai will be there opening, Sedo will be there, Ochiko will be there. So that's the opening lineup. And then I'll just give like a really intense long show for like 2 hours, yeah.
A 2 hour show,
yeah,
from Fancy Fingers?
Yeah, tickets on Hustle Sasa.
Okay.
So fancyfingers.hustlesasa.shop. All the tickets are available there.
So listen, Fancy Fingers is giving a 2 hour show. The last time I saw a 2 hour show, I think that was Damian Marley.
Oh, yeah.
It was
two plus
hours. And now Fancy said he's doing a 2 hour show. So I think what we need to understand is we are going to watch this 2 hour show from Fancy.
100%.
Like, 100%. It's as simple as that.
All of you.
Including the ones on IG, because he's been on IG Live. And I can't believe that our time is up. It doesn't even make sense. Does it make sense?
It doesn't make sense.
Because it feels like we have
Angela,
about
why are you here?
Yeah, like, bye.
Like, why?
Shouldn't you come late? So Fancy,
yeah.
Just even as we go, because obviously you're gonna have to listen to Love Language, which is available everywhere. We're gonna play you another song, but you know it's the news is running, so time and all
go
that.
Go stream the album.
Yeah, go stream the album. That's what we're doing. Run those numbers up. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I'm so sad. Time's up.
Yo, like,
we can't have an extra hour. Like,
can we not have like an extended conversation at some point? I'm so glad that you brought up the hiatus. About it being a hiatus. I don't want to talk about that because I think you've made it quite clear, abundantly clear. All of you have made it quite abundantly clear.
Yep, yep.
So we are looking forward to coming to your show on where is it going to be at?
At
NSK. Okay.
Yeah, at NSK, yeah.
Get your
Nairobi Street Kitchen.
Nairobi Street Kitchen.
Yeah.
Get your tickets from Hustle Sasa.
Yeah.
Listen, it's the easiest process getting those tickets.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an amazing 2 hour show. And remember, Fancy, if you listen to the first version of our conversation or the earlier previous version, Fancy is an actuarial scientist. So he has put a lot of science behind
math.
Math.
And science, yeah.
Is it? Wait, is actuarial science math?
It's actually, it's
math.
Like 90% math.
Yeah, so it's there are a lot of equations, and he's balanced it all out. And it's going to be a fun time. That's what I know. Fancy experience coming right up. Fancy Fingers on the live sessions. I want to thank you so very much. So you have to watch him live. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, you have to. It's an experience.
It's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you were working with Rihanna's camp. Do you think we're going to get...
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. Fingers crossed.
No, he said he's not telling us. You're going to have to go to Fancy Experience to find out.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Fancy Fingers. That's Fancy Fingers on the live sessions. Remember that you can catch this on the Capital FM SoundCloud channel in just a little while. I want to thank you so much for being part of the show this morning. God bless you. Take great care of yourself. My name is Chow. And as I always say, Chow. Wait, hold on. I feel like I need to do something here that I'm not. No, I was just trying to figure something out. Okay. It's our conversation. It went for a while.
It did.
And
it
I
did.
Felt like we could continue, but now it's obvious that we can't, so.
Because Angela is here.
I know, right? Like, why? Shouldn't we just have chased her out? Do you think we could have done that? Maybe not. Ciao!